Stay tuned for The Cinema Clash as Maryland-based critics Charlie Jewell and Hannah Buchdahl debate the merits of new releases, from the mainstream movies that Hannah tends to favor to obscure foreign films that Charlie likes to champion. It's free-flowing, unedited conversation with an occasional wine wager. Two very different perspectives, one entertaining podcast. Let the clash begin.
Hello and welcome to the Cinema Clash. I'm Charlie Jewell of charliejewell.com.
And I'm Hannah Buchdahl of chickflix.net.
Oh, it is Oscar week. It is Oscar week, and we're here to play inside baseball. We're going to tell you, yes, we're going to tell you who should win. That's always nice. You know our opinions. We're going to tell you who we believe will win. Listen to this. You will win your Oscar pool.
Let's hope so. That's kind of scary to sort of put that out there.
I think people, if they play with their offices or their group of friends, they're mostly laymen, you know, and they haven't seen everything. And it's almost a guarantee. You could play with some real experts, but if you are, then you're probably not going to listen to us for your picks anyway.
Yeah, and it's been a pretty safe award season so far. So I think certainly with a lot of the big categories, I think we can predict.
Ah, but you don't win the Oscar pool on the big categories.
No, you
win them on short films,
yes,
and sound mixing.
That's very true. And so, you know, hopefully you watched that documentary, Making Waves, to really understand the difference between sound editing, sound design, all that fun stuff.
I remembered the difference for about 10 minutes after
I know.
That movie. And now it's gone.
Me too. But I do remember thinking at the time that I need to pay more attention. And I certainly appreciate the folks behind sound a lot more than I did a year ago.
Before we launch into every category, and we're going to make a move, don't worry, we need to do quick what we saw this week and our gut reactions, but you can still read the full reviews on our respective websites. You saw the biggest film of the week.
I did not.
You saw Birds of Prey.
Yes.
And I think it had a much longer title than that.
It was something like Birds of Prey, the Fantabulous Emancipation of Harley Quinn, something like that. And it's Margot Robbie reprising her role that she played in Suicide Squad back in 2016. And this is her film, and she nails it. It is a quirky, weird, anti-superhero type film. I described it as sort of Deadpool meets John Wick, if John Wick were a woman. And so this movie hopefully will do well because the rhythm section did so badly. And I'm hoping that was sort of a female-driven film. And so I'm hoping that that this new Harley Quinn film actually gets people back to the box office. It's not for everyone, but it was fun for the people who were there. And it's quirky entertainment.
The rhythm section made history. It scored the lowest box office ever for a film to open on more than 3,000 screens.
That is harsh.
Ever.
Yeah. Whereas this Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey, I think will do okay because it just is – it's another DC Comics type film. And so you're going to – you have at least a partial built-in fan base. And it's a violent ride, but a fun ride.
All right, the one I saw that you didn't see is called The Traitor, in Italian, Il Traditore.
Mm-hmm.
It was at last year's Cannes Film Festival, and it's from Marco Bellocchio. It is very Italian, and apparently it's based on a true story. I was too young or just not paying attention to Italian culture and politics in the 80s and 90s when one Tommaso Buscetta, a mob boss from Sicily, was the first one ever to cooperate with the authorities, and he spurred a trial where they tried 475 defendants at the same time. He brought down a major section of the Sicilian Cosa Nostra. It's 2.5 hours long.
Oh, ouch.
The first half is more violent. You understand why he believes he is not a traitor. He's the only true mafia man left because he remembers what the mafia was before they got into heroin and everything went downhill. It's very opaque for American audiences. There's a lot I did not understand. I guarantee you there's a lot of backstory and things going on I just missed. But if you're a Godfather soul at heart, The Traitor's probably for you.
Oh, excellent. I think I'll skip that one. But I think we both liked the third one out this week, and that's called The Assistant. And it's a small, quiet indie that really is, I call it sort of the Me Too indie alternative to Bombshell, you know, that kind of vibe where it's just about this young assistant who is working for a Harvey Weinstein-like personality. And so it's a very, it's a slow observational drama. I didn't love it, but I thought about it after watching it. So I gave it bonus points for being thought-provoking in the aftermath of viewing.
I borderline loved it. I really liked watching Kitty Green's very slow, deliberately paced, but every all of a sudden adrenaline pumping bumps in the road. The assistant starring Julia Garner, if you watch Netflix Ozark, you'll recognize her. It is hypnotic. Just a great out of nowhere early February film.
It felt like a long 80 some odd minutes to me though. So for that kind of pacing, I think you do need to be more into indie films because that's what you're going to get, whereas Bombshell kind of put it all out there on a much bigger scale. This is a slice of life, a small day in the life drama, and they're very different, but with a similar theme that certainly taps into what's happening. It's very timely and authentic. So I do think that it's worth checking out maybe when it comes, if not in the theaters now, then down the pike when it's available for streaming.
I like The Assistant more than Bombshell. All right, we're going to launch in to the categories. We're going to alternate. I will say the category, list the nominees, you know, a very brief should win, but then what I believe will win, and then you can come in and contradict me.
Sounds good.
Fair enough. All right, we're going to start big. We're going to start big. Actor in a leading role, Antonio Banderas, Leonardo DiCaprio, Adam Driver, Joaquin Phoenix, Jonathan Pryce. Just go ahead and mark down Joaquin Phoenix. Just write it down. Don't be silly. Don't get cute. Write it down. Personally, I would have voted for Leonardo. But I'm coming around on Joaquin.
I am too. I personally, I would go with Leonardo or Antonio Banderas. I just never saw Pain and Glory. It's the only movie out of all the nominees, all the big ones for sure, that I just did not have a chance to see. So I can't compare him. I would have loved to have seen Christian Bale for Ford versus Ferrari in that mix. But since he's not there, yes, Joaquin Phoenix is your slam dunk, I think, pick in that category. So moving on, I'll take actor in a supporting role. We've got Tom Hanks, Anthony Hopkins, Al Pacino, Joe Pesci, and your winner, Brad Pitt, for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I concur. Brad Pitt will win. It is a lock, but honestly, it wouldn't blow my mind if Joe Pesci made the stage. But personally, I vote for Tom Hanks.
But Tom Hanks is Tom Hanks, and I love him in pretty much everything. I just think that Brad Pitt was more critical and just interesting in his portrayal in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Tom Hanks, you know, is always going to be great. And so
of saying Brad Pitt will not always be great.
No, but I just think that this is Brad Pitt's year.
Actress in a leading role. Cynthia Erivo, Scarlett Johansson, Saoirse Ronan, Charlize Theron, Renee Zellweger. Renee Zellweger will win, guaranteed. Well, 99% guaranteed. If she doesn't, there's a 1% chance. No, there isn't. Renee will win, but Charlize Theron should win.
Well, I picked Renee Zellweger to win this category for Judy when I saw the Judy Garland movie months ago. It's just one that the Academy loves to reward when somebody sort of is able to pull off their own singing and sort of transform themselves into a person, a legendary person, such as Judy Garland. And so I have always thought Renee would probably win this category. And the main reason for me also is because I just think it's so much of a toss-up between all the other possibilities. And so I just think Renee edges out just a smidge above equal weight for the other very strong performances.
I mean,
in this category,
you had to pick a second, I would. It could be Scarlett, but
it could be Scarlett. You know. But yeah.
But no, it's Renee.
It's Renee. And so moving on to actress in a supporting role, we have another slam dunk, but it's we've got Kathy Bates, Laura Dern, Scarlett Johansson, Florence Pugh, and Margot Robbie. And I think Laura Dern is another slam dunk for this category based on what's been happening this award season for her role in Marriage Story.
Laura Dern's name will be called. It should be Scarlett Johansson. I actually liked her performance here even more than Marriage Story. Her performance in Jojo Rabbit was just perfect. If there's some crazy upset. I actually think Kathy Bates could sneak in. But she won't. It'll be Laura.
She won't, but she is very good in Richard Jewell. But just the bad taste that film left in a lot of people's mouths, it just backfired. And so I think her performance got lost. But I love Scarlett Johansson and Jojo Rabbit. I would have liked to see that too. But Laura Dern, I think, is the shoe-in for a whole bunch of reasons for her work, not just in Marriage Story, but in Little Women and in pretty much anything she's been in the past few years.
All right, everything else is going to be a lot closer. Those are four slam dunk categories. There are 24 categories. I put stars by seven of them. Seven of them are legitimately challenging, but animated feature is not one of them. will win Toy Story 4, should win I Lost My... Oh, by the way, How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, I Lost My Body, Klaus, Missing Link, Toy Story 4. Toy Story 4 will win. I Lost My Body, should win. Would not be surprised if it was Klaus.
Klaus was surprisingly good. I enjoyed it. And so that to me would be that dark horse. I did not particularly go for I Lost My Body. It was a little too out there, a little too weird for the average person for watching an animated film. But Toy Story 4 just, I think, has the emotional edge. Whereas Klaus was a really surprising entry into this field. I think you want Tom Hanks. So there you go. Toy Story 4, you get more Tom Hanks.
I want Tom Hanks for that.
And then we've got, so we'll move on to, these are starting to get a little tougher, but we'll see. Cinematography, we have The Irishman, Joker, The Lighthouse, 1917, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And to me, this is one of the toughest, most competitive categories, because I think the cinematography was pretty darn good in all of these. If I had to make a pick of what I think is now leading the pack, if only by a tiny little bit, I'm going to go with 1917, which would not only be my guess for what will win, but also my guess for what should win.
I agree, but for completely different reasons. This category is not close. It's not close. It's a slam dunk. 1917 will win, should win. It's Roger Deakins all day. Mark it down.
But for the two people who saw The Lighthouse, I think they would probably say that cinematography should go to that film. But 1917 is probably the one to beat.
All right. The first category I am completely stumped on because it could go to one of two. Costume design. The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Vegas odds, if I want to win my bets, I would write down Little Women. Mm-hmm. But there's a 49% chance Jojo Rabbit's getting called.
That's tough. I don't know. I still, when I think about the costume design and having watched all these films, Jojo Rabbit has some interesting elements, but they're the types of costume elements that I do feel like I've seen before. I mean, granted, you could say the same thing for Little Women, any period piece. But I do think that from beginning to end, Little Women just had some phenomenal costume design. So that's my pick for what should win and also what I think will win.
You know how all the guilds have their own awards. Costume Guild was awarded to Jojo Rabbit.
Well, and that means that it could very well sneak in there. And once again, I wouldn't be sorry. That's one of those ones where I would love to see Jojo Rabbit get some love. So if I end up being wrong, aside from maybe steering some of our poor listeners to put the wrong thing on their
this is a time to
ballot.
Be safe. Put Little Women. It's that period piece they love, but.
But just know that Jojo Rabbit was pretty good, too. And then the next category is directing. And that's another one where it's a toss-up. So you've got The Irishman, Joker, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite. All very well-directed films. Again, I am going to give the edge, slight as it may be, to 1917 as the one that should win. And maybe will win, although Parasite scares me that I think the director of Parasite could sneak in there.
I believe Sam Mendes for 1917 will win. He will just edge out Bong Joon-ho for Parasite. It's close. Sam Mendes will win, but I personally would vote for Quentin Tarantino.
For Once Upon a Time, .. in Hollywood.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm normally not a Quentin Tarantino fan, but I did like this film this year. But when I think to just the cinematic experience of watching 1917, I just think that one should win.
Best documentary feature: American Factory, The Cave, The Edge of Democracy, Forsama, Honeyland. First, to scratch off two. The Cave and The Edge of Democracy will not win.
They shouldn't win.
American Factory will win. American Factory will win. Don't be surprised if it's the one that should win, though, which is Forsama.
Yeah, I hope it's the one that should win, which is Forsama. I finally got around. I have now watched all of these. I watched Honeyland recently, and I watched The Edge of Democracy last week, which only really matters if you have a really good sense of the political history of Brazil, which I do not. Forsama is definitely the strongest of these picks, but I'm still mad that Apollo 11, my favorite documentary feature of the year, is not even on this list.
Do not vote with your emotions. Do not vote with your heart. Yes, Forsama is the better film, but American Factory is strong.
Well, and American Factory has the Obamas behind it as producers. So that could sway.
People want someone to get really mad about Obama winning an Oscar,
I think so, too. So I'd be okay with American Factory winning, but Forsama is the best of these documentaries. But, it just depends. It's a really hard category, I think, to pick this year. And then speaking of documentaries, we have documentary short subject films, which we talked about a bit last week with all these shorts. There's one, In the Absence, Learning to Skateboard in a War Zone if You're a Girl, Life Overtakes Me, St. Louis Superman, Walk, Run, Cha-Cha. And this is one of those categories that you hope might help get you a little extra, a few bonus points. Based on last year's winner, which was the one about the girls and their period products that won, I am going to think that maybe those same Academy members will go for Learning to Skateboard in a War Zone if You're a Girl.
Go ahead and scratch out In the Absence and Walk, Run, Cha-Cha. They will not win. The one that can and should win is Learning to Skateboard in a War Zone. Don't be surprised if the 10% chance St. Louis Superman accidentally sneaks up on stage.
I would agree. And so, yeah. So what about film editing, Charlie?
Film editing is tied for the hardest to pick. I had problems with this
easiest
category.
Easiest for me. Easiest.
Ford versus Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Parasite. Scratch out The Irishman and Joker. They will not win. It's between Ford versus Ferrari and Parasite. They're going to want to give Parasite love. I'm actually going for Parasite here.
I'm going for Ford versus Ferrari, which I rewatched the other day. And there's nothing like having to edit together car racing scenes like that. And so I think when I saw it a second time, that made this a slam dunk category for me. I think Ford versus Ferrari, this is the only category that really allows it to get the kind of love it deserves. So I'm going to say go for Ford versus Ferrari in film editing.
If Ford versus Ferrari happens to win a category, it will be this one. And it's a strong second place. We don't understand the power and the magnitude that Parasite has over Hollywood right now. It's got the edge.
It's flawed. It's flawed thinking. So I'm hoping that
Parasite's might take this one.
I don't know. Okay, that'll be one of those ones that maybe we should do our wine wager over the film editing category. We haven't had a good wine wager in a while. Moving on, we've got the international feature film, formerly known as the foreign film category. It's Corpus Christi, which has nothing to do with Texas. Honeyland, Les Miserables, Pain and Glory, and Parasite.
Easiest category.
Oh my gosh.
Easiest category.
If you do not circle Parasite right this second on every ballot you can find, then you really don't want to win.
Actually, my should win, though, was Honeyland in this category. I actually liked it better than Parasite.
I kind of like Les Miserables better, even though also that has nothing to do with most people's view of Les Miserables. And again, I never saw Pain and Glory, so that's the only one that I really can't give a, you know, have true knowledge of what I'm voting for. But I mean, gee, it's Parasite.
The next one's easier. Well, nothing's easier than international film, but the next one's easier than editing. Makeup and hairstyling. Bombshell, Joker, Judy, Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, 1917. Go ahead and scratch out Maleficent 1917. They're not going to win.
Yeah.
My can and should win match here. It's going to be Bombshell.
And that's my can and should win as well. I think that if you've seen that film and you see what was done to transform Charlize Theron into Megyn Kelly, there's just no other choice here other than go with Bombshell.
Mm-hmm.
And then original score, this is another one that I have a hard time with because it's apples and oranges. I look at these different kinds of films and the score adds different things at different times to all of these. You've got Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, and Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. Now, I went back and I listened to some of the scores from these, and I'm really torn. I think Little Women should win, but I think they're going to give some love to the female composer behind Joker, and I think Joker actually will win.
It's a two-horse race in original score. It's between Joker and 1917. Joker will win this category.
Joker, I think, will win. 1917, yeah. I mean, 1917 and Little Women, I think, both had excellent scores as well. So I wouldn't be terribly upset to see any of those win. But I do think that that also based on the lack of female representation that's been noted for this particular Oscars, I think they're going to be struggling to look for where they can put some bonus points behind there for the women.
Best original song, not a very compelling category.
I love it, though. It's my favorite category every year.
Toy Story 4, I Can't Let You Throw Yourself Away. I do not remember that song. Rocket Man, I'm Gonna Love Me Again.
It's about the fork trying to commit, like, trash suicide.
Good old Forky.
Forky.
Breakthrough, I'm Standing With You. Nobody saw Breakthrough. Frozen 2, Into the Unknown. Scratch it out. Not going to win. The one that should win, Harriet, Stand Up. The one that will win, Slam Dunk. Rocket Man's I'm Gonna Love Me Again.
I definitely agree. I think that any opportunity that you have to get Elton John and Taron Egerton up there on stage, it's the original song that just will bring the most, just the most impact, I think, to this film. And it was written for this film, and there was all this other stuff that we'd already heard before. So to have the opportunity to hear an original Elton John tune sung so well also by Taron Egerton, I do predict that we're going to see a really good duet from the two of them at the Oscars. But I do also believe that Stand Up, Cynthia Erivo is going to have the knockout performance, like the most powerful and profound performance that we're going to hear at the ceremony.
Yeah, if they let her sing.
Oh, they've got to let. Cynthia Erivo is a Broadway trained.
Well, I'm not.
Singer.
I don't know if they'll have any of them sing. But if they let them all sing, she has an opportunity to knock the house down.
No, I believe that they're all the original singers are slated to perform, and so you also have the This Is Us crowd will be very happy to see the woman from This Is Us. Actually, whose name escapes me at the moment, but I think she's going to sing that song from Breakthrough, which is, yes, as you mentioned, a movie that nobody saw. So, can't go wrong with Elton John as your pick. Then I think production design would be the next one, and that is, to me, sort of that same kind of conflict that you'd have with cinematography and direction. And so for production design, we've got The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite. And I don't know. I'm really torn on this one. I would probably still go with 1917, but I'd love to see Jojo Rabbit get it. and I'm afraid that Parasite might steal it. And Once Upon a Time in Hollywood's a dark horse.
This is a starred category. I found this is a top three most challenging pick. If you get this right, you might win your pool off of this one. Go ahead and scratch out The Irishman. It will not win. This is a three-horse race between 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite. Any one of those could win. My gut says this is going to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I would love to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood get this particular one, because the production design really did stand out to me in terms of the recreation of 1970s Los Angeles. It felt so authentic, and I did like that. So so I would hope that that this would be the one for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, though I would not be surprised to see 1917 or Parasite sneak in there.
Best Animated Short Film: Daughter, Hair Love, Kit Bull, Memorable, Sister. Go ahead and scratch out Daughter. It will not win. It's a two-horse race between Hair Love and Kit Bull. Hair Love will win.
Yes, Hair Love and will win. And should win. And this is one where the Kobe tribute, I would not be surprised if it is placed somewhere around this category, because it is the one that Kobe Bryant won for last year with his animated short, Dear Basketball. And so there's going to be a poignant moment tied to this category. And Hair Love definitely has the most traction and exposure going into this award season. And then what are we next? Where are we? We are at Live Action Short, which is another tough one for me. If you had to star your seven or eight of them, this would be one of mine. Because we have, it's apples and oranges again for all of these particular shorts. Brotherhood, NEFTA Football Club, The Neighbor's Window, Saria, and A Sister. And I am going to predict another female empowerment kind of saga and say that Saria might sneak in there. If not that, then I would go with The Neighbor's Window, which is the American film in this category. But Saria is one of those very heart-wrenching kind of short films, very well done, and is a tribute to lives lost. And so I have a feeling, that's my gut check feeling, is that Saria will somehow, if enough Academy members saw it, that's the one they will pick.
I starred this category, live action short film. It's a two-horse race between The Neighbor's Window and Brotherhood, I think. And this category almost always goes to the American film. I believe The Neighbor's Window will win this category.
Yeah, I guess if I had to go with predicting or offering up advice on what to put down for this category in order to maybe win the pool, I would say The Neighbor's Window, although my heart's with Saria.
I'm with you. Saria should win. Sound editing. Ford versus Ferrari, Joker, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. This is a two-horse race. People think sound, people think Ford versus Ferrari, but 1917 will win.
I agree. I circled 1917 with a little question mark by Ford versus Ferrari. So I agree. I would put 1917 down as my pick for this one as well. And it's the same thing, sound mixing. I always am like, how can you have one and not the other win a particular award when it all seems to contribute to the big picture, so to speak? And so sound mixing, we have Ad Astra, which I don't think anybody saw. That was another Brad Pitt movie.
Yeah, nobody saw that.
How many people have talked about Ad Astra recently? Ford versus Ferrari, Joker, 1917, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which leads me to believe that Ad Astra probably has very good sound mixing for it to have gotten into that category. But I still am kind of going to go with that combination of sound editing and sound mixing and giving it to 1917.
It's the same two-horse race, Ford, Ferrari, and 1917. 1917 will take both categories.
Could be.
A starred category. Starred category. Visual effects. Good luck.
Yeah.
Avengers Endgame, The Irishman, The Lion King, 1917, Star Wars. Go ahead and scratch out Star Wars. any of the other four could win. Even The Irishman. If The Irishman is going to win a category because people just feel sentimental and they're sorry that Martin got 10 nominations and won't win, if it's going to win a category, it will be this one. I don't think it will. This is so close. Yeah. Between Avengers and 1917. I think Avengers by a hair.
I think it's a three-horse race for this one because 1917, and I love Avengers Endgame for this category because I would love to see Avengers Endgame get some recognition because, as I noted, it was my favorite film experience of the year and deserves more recognition than it got from the Academy. But The Lion King did have those visual effects. It was like the only thing that made that sort of live action.
It's an animated film,
I know, yeah. but with that, but the it gave the impression. It was sort of like it was a different sort of animation than the original film that we were used to. So I don't know. I think that there's a slight chance that The Lion King could.
I'm with you. This is a four horse race
into that one.
So, absolutely.
So this is the one, whereas I think 1917 will win, I'm going to go out on a limb and put The Lion King on my ballot.
I'm not going to argue too much with that. I think any of those four films could win, but Avengers just got, I got that gut feeling about that.
I hope so. I hope you're right. So we'll see. The next two we've got, so we have adapted screenplay and original screenplay. Adapted screenplay, I love all of these in this category, except actually I didn't love The Irishman. For me, any movie that's 3.5 hours long needs to be adapted differently to make it shorter. But the category includes The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, and The Two Popes. The Two Popes, just because it had very good dialogue, you know, very impressive. But this is the one where I really do think that Jojo Rabbit should win and very well may win, because when you talk about adapting something that seemed impossible to adapt and to do it so well, Jojo Rabbit wins for me.
Adapted screenplay is a two-horse race. Go ahead and scratch out The Irishman, Joker, and The Two Popes. They will not win. Jojo Rabbit will win. I will not be shocked in the least if they call Greta Gerwig's name for Little Women.
Yeah, no, I agree. Greta would be the main driving force behind possibly getting that award. And I'd be okay with that. So I do think it's a two-horse race between Jojo Rabbit and Little Women. I think either one of those could win. I think Jojo Rabbit really, really should win, but I'd be okay if Little Women won.
Original screenplay is just as challenging. Knives Out, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Parasite. It's a two-horse race. Scratch out Knives Out.
Are they the same horses in each of these?
Marriage Story, 1917. Just scratch them out. Parasite will win. No one will be surprised when they call Quentin Tarantino's name for Hollywood.
I think Parasite is that's the one that, considering the momentum and the love for that film in Hollywood, Parasite is really probably the most legitimate category that I can see giving it to, because it is a very original story. So when you sort of take a step back and you think about what original screenplay is supposed to mean and sort of being something that we have not seen before in any real iteration, that's where I think Parasite is okay by me to get the win, even though I am not on the Parasite bandwagon as much as many in Hollywood. But I would not be surprised to see Parasite win this category, and I'd be okay with it because, to me, it's a toss-up between all of them. I think they're all very good original screenplays, but Parasite I would give the slight edge to on this one.
Yeah, it's a very well-nominated category, but I just don't be surprised if Tarantino gets up on the stage, but it's Parasite's category.
That's right. And that leaves us with the biggest award of the night, Best Picture. And, wow, I don't know. This is one where it's going to be either...
It's a starred category.
It's a starred category.
Well, first of all, who's nominated?
That could create massive heartbreak, just as it did with La La Land for me.
La La Land.
I'm going back, you know, back a bit. So the Best Picture nominees are Ford versus Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite. My personal favorite overall was still Ford versus Ferrari. To me, that's the biggest crowd pleaser film, which I think deserves to get Best Picture love, but never does. So I am going to hope that in lieu of that, 1917 comes out the victor ahead of Parasite. So if I had to make a call on this, I am going with 1917 because it is the best cinematic experience you're going to get in a movie theater this year.
Jojo Rabbit should win.
Should win.
1917 will win a whisker over Parasite.
I hope so. I hope so, because I do think that I'd be satisfied with that. I'd be okay with that. So, yeah, we'll see. But, you know, hey, go and get your ballots. You can, if you haven't already filled one out and you want to sort of re-listen and play along, you can print your ballots out at Oscars.com, and there's an area where it'll say, like, a printable list. And that's where we got our ballots from. And so, you know, next week they can tune in and keep us honest to what we said.
I'll raise my hand and tell you exactly what I got wrong. But this Sunday, February 9th, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, I hope for some surprises. I don't want this to be – I hope I don't get every category right.
I agree. I want moments. And,
ooh, moments.
And so we'll see. I do think now they're probably scrambling. This hostless cast, they're scrambling probably to do a Kirk Douglas tribute. So between Kobe and Kurt, I think there's opportunity for some moving moments. And with performances from people like Cynthia Erivo, I think we're in for some really solid musical performances as well.
Natalie Portman is presenting, so America is tuning in.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much for listening to our preparatory Oscar episode of the Cinema Clash. I hope you all mop the floor in your respective categories. I am Charlie Jewell.
I'm Hannah Buchdahl.
Thank you.
Take care.
The Cinema Clash with Charlie Jewell and Hannah Buchdahl is heard twice each weekend at 5:15 on Saturday and 12:15 on Sunday afternoon. Join us again next time for The Cinema Clash.